Good morning. If you just walked in and looking for Brian Clay. Hi, I'm Brian Clay. Kind of out of shape, you know. I'm going to lose some weight, though, in 2 weeks. Yeah, I'm a little nervous. But I heard Brian say, just give your best and got to make it good enough. Isn't that what a wonderful word? Well, greetings to you all. Would you take out your notes with me as we jump right into the message? But before we begin, I have something to confess. Yesterday, on the way in to service, I went to Starbucks in Kahala to get some coffee. And I was standing in a long line, man, out the door. And I hate those lines sometimes. But I was patient, you know, hanging out. And just then, a huge, mongous Japanese guy walks in front of the line. He cuts. And I'm going, get in the back, man. And I knew nobody's going to say anything because he's a giant. So, you know, I politely walked to the front of the line and said, hey, big guy, I just saw you cut. Do you mind getting in the back like everybody else? That's polite. He go, I didn't cut. Brother, I just saw you cut. Get in the back. He said, I didn't cut. And I was just ready to tear into him. And I go, wait a minute. I'm speaking in a couple of hours at Farrington. And I'm a pastor, and I was wearing this band that Pastor Wayne gave us, No Grumble. So I go, okay, but praise the Lord. I went in the back, you know, but I was so upset. When I got to the front of the line, I brought out my money to pay for my coffee, and a bill flew out, but I needed to pay because the line was so long, but I paid and turned back. My bill was gone. Big guy picked it up. So I asked him, brother, can I have my money back? What money? Big guy, I just saw you pick up my money. I like my money back. He said, I never take your money. Oh, man. I was so upset, man. I was losing it already. So he grabbed his coffee and sat down. I grabbed my coffee, sat right next to him. And I was losing it. I was going, Dominic, cool down. You're going to speak in a couple of hours. And you're a pastor in this band. Don't grumble. And just then, he stood up and he left. So he left behind this white package. So I grabbed the white package, put it in my bag, sat down, drank my coffee. Hey, 2 minutes later, big man is running all over Starbucks. He goes, hey, Hawaiian, you see no white package around here? I know I was lying, so forgive me. And I told him, what package? He go, hey, Hawaiian, but there's a package right here. I said, I never seen no package. Yeah, I know I was lying, but he didn't cut, stole my money. Good for him. Good for him. Hey, and so I went to my truck because I knew I was speaking, so I had to get right before God. So I was going, oh, Lord, forgive that guy for cutting in line and stealing my money. Nah. I go, oh, God, I'm so sorry. But good for him, good for him. But you know, I wanted to know what was in the package. Do you want to know what was in the package? You guys sick. Yes. Yes, pass it down, give him back. You don't say that, you're like, no. Eh? Guess what I had in the package? Every single lie I was telling you. Nothing was true, sorry. I just made up a lie. Sorry. That's bad, huh? Hey, you know, for the past few minutes, I made you believe a lie. And it wasn't too difficult. I made up a story that sounded believable. And within a few minutes, it took me a few minutes to tell the story. And then within a couple of lines, you began to believe what I was telling you. And then it would take some time for you to forget about it. Well-told lies have that kind of effect on us. So today's message is titled, Walking in God's Truth. And from my own experience, I believe many of us struggle to live and walk in God's truth daily. Sometimes we have a hard time believing that God loves us, that he calls us, that he gifts us, that he wants to use us for his glory. And a lot of the lies that were told about us yesterday still haunt us today. And in this message, I'll discuss what we must do to live and walk in God's truth daily. instead of living according to the lies told about us yesterday, and to walk according to God's truth today. And God will teach all of us how to deal with the lies of our past and then overcome them to replace each truth, each lie with truth. And I can relate to believing in living lies. When I was growing up, one of my coaches told me that I couldn't, so I didn't try. Then my friends that I was growing up with, they told me, Dominic, you're so mean. So I terrorized them. And then a teacher told me, honestly, she told me, Dominic, you're stupid. So I flunked it. I lived those lies as if they were true. In fact, that teacher affected me so much that when I was in the 11th grade, I was sitting in a class with students I'd never seen before, only in PE. You know, the really smart kids like Pastor Elwin. And I was like, whoa, I don't belong here. And I was telling my friend, we played football together. His name Kevin. I said, Kevin, I'm out of here. I don't belong in these guys, all the smart kids. He goes, Dominic, stay right here. I said, I ain't going to stay here. I cannot pass this class. He said, Dominic, stay right here. Who told you you cannot do that? Well, you stay here. I said, the teacher in the third grade told me I stay here. Stay right here. And I was so encouraged. I stayed in the class, and I got an A in the class. Really? Yeah. Of course, I copied the guy next to me, and he did all of my homework, but an A is an A, right? It's on my report card. I live lies as if they're true. And then when I came to know Christ, I thought it would be different, but it wasn't. I was at a midweek service, and it's one of those times where Pastor Wayne says, hey, would you turn to your neighbor and encourage them? Just tell them, you look great today. So I just came from football practice. I was coaching, and I was sweaty a little bit, and I was sitting next to a friend. And I looked at her and said, you look great tonight. And she turned around, she looked at me, and she goes, you stink. Oh, that's funny. I mean, it really hurt. And I was looking at her, and I wanted to tell her, but I didn't tell her. I said, you ugly, but I would never tell you this. I didn't say that. I was thinking. So at the end of the worship time, I went in the back. Went to my truck and went home. And I thought that was going to be the last time I was going to visit church. I believed that lie to be true. And even as a pastor, sometimes I struggle fighting against the lies that he's told about me. I received a letter last year from a lady in Oregon, and she wrote a letter that was offended by something I said, and it hurt me. And when I dropped the letter, I was so bummed, and I said, you know what, I ain't preaching no more. And I walked out of my office, and I ran into Pastor Larry Gillis. And I said, Pastor Larry, I have this letter. Can you read it and help me discern what's going on? Went back to his office. And he didn't help at first. He started to read the letter, and he made those weird noises. He started going, oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, nah. It was bad. I felt worse. And at the end, he looked at me. He said, Dominic, how do you feel? But he had the nerve of telling me that. How do I feel after all those noises? I don't feel too good. To be honest, I'm done preaching. He grabbed me by my shoulders. He said, oh, no, Dominic, this is a lie. You don't get to believe this lie. Don't let the enemy sideline you because of this letter. Let's pray. And he began to pray for me. And he was crying, and I was crying. And in the end, he looked at me and said, Dominic, God has called you. And people love you because you are you. You don't try to be anybody else. Yeah, you could have said things differently, but people who know your pure heart. Your motives are clean. Leave it at the cross. Wow. Wasn't that wonderful counsel? You know? But I started to think, if I can get rocked by a critical lie, and I'm a pastor, what about you? In fact, nowadays, it's like every single show on TV, the reality shows, has us believing lies, right? And I used to watch this show on MTV, this show called Punked. Anybody watch Punked before? Can I even say Punked at Farrington? Sorry, Pastor Elwin. But I used to watch this show called Punked. And it's a remake of the old show, Candid Camera, from the 70s and 80s. But They target celebrities. And Ashton Kutcher, who's the host of the show, he's married to Demi Moore, he orchestrates this huge lie. And he hides behind the scenes while everything's going on. And he directs everybody to punk these celebrities, or what punk means is to get the celebrities to believe in a lie, like I did in the beginning. And most of the victims said, "Do you never punk me?" And then unknown actors play different types of roles, like waiters or policemen and all these different types of roles. And then right on cue, from his direction, in this lie, cars crash and explode, police sirens go off, things break, walls fall down, people argue. And the celebrities are right in the middle of everything. They get blamed for it all. And actually, they start to believe that this scenario, the lie they're in, were actually true. And then hidden cameras get foul language, uncontrolled emotion. And right at the boiling point where everything's just going crazy and the celebrities are yelling and crying and ready to fight, Ashton Kutcher comes from behind, you know? And he looks right at the celebrities. He goes, "You being punked." And you know, I was thinking, if they punked me, I said, "Brother, you don't punk me, I punk you. Get out of here." Listen very carefully. If you are believing any lie or living any lie from the past, you're getting punked. Sorry to say it, but you're getting punked. How? Satan. John 8:44 says, "He is a liar and the father of lies." And the devil would love for you and I to believe any lie from yesterday that would cause us to hurt and live in insecurity today. And the devil will love us to believe all the critics of the world, so we live in shame, guilt, and fear today. And if the devil can do that, we won't be effective today, nor will we believe God for tomorrow. And many of you can relate. You can relate because over the course of your lifetime, past lives have been told about you. And you don't know it, but it comes out in the relationships that you have, between your husband and your wife or your kids. It comes out in your work ethic. It comes out everywhere. It just leaks everywhere. Last week, I had a counseling session, husband and wife, and they was going back and forth, sharing their story, and all of a sudden, the husband goes, "You know what? I don't do nothing. I just get home, go to work, take care of kids. That's all I do. My wife just gets on me." And then she says, "You know, when I grew up in a foster care system. And the foster care family, they didn't treat me well. The parents nor the kids." And I was going, wow, that's where the insecurity comes from. It isn't because of this relationship. It becomes something that it came from something that happened yesterday. And it affected that marriage big time. Then we end up living our lives as if the lies were true. And if this happened to you on the outside, you want to let everybody know it's all right, right? But on the inside, you're probably a mess. And maybe you realize why the way you are today because of something that happened yesterday, and you lived and believe your lies as if they're true. And it affects everything. It affects your belief system, what you believe about yourself. It affects your worldview, what you believe about the world and society. It affects, when you come to Christ, it affects your biblical view, what you believe about God or God's word. And it also affects your trust, how you trust others around you. And the problem is, you can write this in your notes, we live and believe lies as if they're true. We live lies as if they're true. And because you believe and live those lies as true, and you're living way below the life God intended for you, the enemy comes out, you know, out of the back, and he said, "You're getting punked." And I don't know about you, but I'm tired of getting punked. Would you turn to your neighbors and tell them right now, "I'm tired of getting punked"? Go ahead and do that now. "I'm tired of getting punked." And in order for us to live the life God intended us to live, you and I will have to face each lie from yesterday so we can start living for tomorrow today. Eventually, you and I will have to face the lies that told us that we're not good enough, smart enough, fast enough, rich enough, tough enough, beautiful enough. The lies that are stealing, that is stealing our joy, hardening our hearts. The lies that is messing with our thoughts. The lies that are robbing us of our future. Eventually, you and I will have to face each lie, or we will begin, or in some cases, continue to conform our lives to the lies. But here's the good news. It doesn't have to be that way. God didn't create you and I to live in the lie. God has created you and I to live and believe truth. Jesus said with his very own words that I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And if I hit a nerve already, you must be saying, hey, Pastor Dom, how do I not live the lie anymore? How do I live differently? And you know, that's a really good question. And to be honest,
I don't know.
Hopefully when Pastor Wayne gets back, he can help us. My message is over. Let's pray. Dad. Just kidding. Now, if you're a God trying to convince the world not to live or believe or conform to the lies, what would you tell them? How would you encourage them to believe just the opposite of what they heard all their lives? What does God have to say about this issue? And the Bible is full of characters that lived and believed lies and affected them as if it were true. Right in the beginning, Adam and Eve, they believed the lie as true. They were told not to eat the fruit, and the enemy came in and said, eat the fruit. You're going to be like God. And so that decision of them eating the fruit yesterday still affects us today. And now everyone born is born in sin and separated from God because of that decision. And here we got in your notes, here's what the apostles Paul says in Romans 12:2. And if anyone knows about having to persevere through the lies that have been told, Paul has. And he was inspired by God to write a letter to the Roman church, people who gave their lives over to Christ. And this is what he said. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. Now let's stop right there. Now did Paul write do not conform, or did he write do conform? What did he write? Would you say that with me? Do not conform. And that's a very important command. You see, if he wrote do conform, then we can keep living the way we've been living, right? In the lie. That's what conforming is. But God doesn't want you and I to be conformists. So what Paul is saying, as Christians, we don't need to conform to the world and to the lies. And he uses this word, any longer. We don't need to fall in line with the lies that have been told. We don't need to fall into the pattern of this world. We don't need to conform any longer. Yet it's tough not to conform to the things around us, isn't it? And there was a time in history when everyone thought the world was flat. There was no evidence to support the claims that the world was flat, except somebody saying the world is flat. And so everyone believed that if they traveled far enough to the end of the earth, they would fall off the earth. Isn't that crazy? But now we know the earth is round, right? Not flat. Why? Because I get this globe at home that's round. And if it isn't round, I'm messed up, you're messed up. We all messed up if that thing isn't round. And is not conforming even possible? I truly believe it is. You see, Jesus didn't conform. And he could have because of his human nature. He had every opportunity to conform. But he did exactly the opposite of what the world expected of him. And no one could ever say that Jesus was a conformist. Even though he was 100% God, he was also 100% man. Which means that in his holiness, Jesus could stand up and calm storms. But in his humanness, he would catch a cold and sneeze. Achoo! In his holiness, he could heal a lame man. But in his humanness, he would be walking down a road, stub his toe on a rock and go, ouch! In his holiness, he could raise the dead. But in his humanness, He'll go to the funeral and cry, boo, boo. He was 100% man, but also 100% God. And he had every single opportunity to conform because of his human nature, but he did not conform. Would you say a big amen there? Amen. How do we not conform any longer? And for some of you, it's absolutely important that you move away from your old friends or your co-worker for a season and get around people who love Jesus with all their hearts. Until you will not conform to their ways. When I was just a young Christian, maybe 1 month in the Lord, I thought I could hang out with my old friends. But when they started to smoke weed, I started to smoke weed. When they drank, I drank. When they swore, I swore. And nothing was different between our group, except that I was the only one going to church at the time. Finally, I decided that I couldn't hang out with them until I would not conform to their ways. Because I wanted to live wholeheartedly for Christ. And for some of you, do not conform means you have to leave your friends for a season. People who are leading you away from God's best. You might have to take a break if your true desire is to live for God with all your heart. So Paul continues in that passage, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. Say that with me, but be transformed. And the Greek word for transform is this word called metamorpho. That's where we get the word metamorphosis. And it means that it means transforming the inner being of a man. So what the Bible is saying, that the believer must undergo a radical change on the inside in order to escape the living the lie. We must do a radical transformation on the inside. It means changing our inner being, our inner man. All those things must be changed. And then he continued, but be transformed. How do we do that? By the renewing of your mind. And Paul is saying, look, it's the believer's mind that needs to be renewed. Not their actions, not their words, not their behaviors, not their surroundings. It's their minds that need to be renewed, readjusted, changed, turned around so that we do not believe the lies of yesterday and start walking in God's truth today. And it means that you and I, we must believe and think differently. We begin the process of renewing our mind by believing and thinking differently. And we get several ways we can do that. One is reading God's word, because God's word replaces old lies with his truth. That's why Pastor Lee reminds us every week to what? Do your devotion. Say that, devotions. Pastor Wayne reminds us every week to do devotions because he knows that God's word replaces the lies from yesterday's and replaces it with God's truth for today and then for tomorrow. God's word teaches all of us to see things the way God sees things and to live according to the way God lives and to believe what God believes. And then Paul continues with a promise that when we don't conform to the world, and we're becoming transformed by the renewing of your mind with God's word, then you'll be able to attest and approve what God's will is. Would you underline test and approve? Test and approve. Hey, I have this joke about on tests. Had this guy, he was driving down the road, pulled over by a cop. So he goes, excuse me, sir, can I see your license and registration? And he was shining the flashlight in the car, and all of a sudden he saw a bunch of knives in the back seat. Then they go, hey, what are those knives for? So the guy goes, oh, those knives. I'm a juggler. I use those knives to juggle. So the cop goes, yeah, right. I'm going to test you. You got to test me. I'm going to test you. You got to prove to me that you can juggle those knives. So he gets out and he starts juggling the knives. Just then, two Hawaiians stumbling out of the bar, driving home, sees the guy juggling the knives. The one Hawaiian turned to the other Hawaiian and says, hey, Kyoki, we better quit drinking, but look at the drunk driving test, getting harder nowadays. I couldn't even do that sober. Where am I now? Okay. Renewing Our mind with the Word of God helps us to test and to approve what the will of God is. And the NSB version uses this word, so that you may prove what the will of God is. And I did a search in the dictionary what the word is, what the word means, proof. And it means this: to establish truth. So it means that you approve or you establish truth of what God's will is. And this is the promise, that as we renew our minds with the Word of God, we will prove, not might prove, we will prove what the will of God is. His good, His pleasing, and His perfect will. Isn't that great? And then we'll see life through God's promises for tomorrow and not live according to the lies of yesterday. But this is what I think. We've been conforming way too long to the pattern of this world. That's why we live the lie. Yet I truly believe that we can live lives not conformed to the world, but transformed by God. Why? Here it is. You can write in your notes this one point of the message. Don't live yesterday today. Meaning, don't live the lies of yesterday today, but start living for tomorrow today. God has a wonderful promised future. Don't live yesterday today. Start living for tomorrow today. And today, we must start living for tomorrow, which means that we must make certain decisions today that will bring about a different result for tomorrow. So what can we do today? Write this in your notes. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Encourage yourself in the Lord. There will be times where nobody will be around to encourage you. You feel like you're all alone. You'll be discouraged and frustrated by what the world trying to press us into the mold. And in those times, you got to learn to encourage yourself in the Lord. No relying on your wife, your husband, or your friends to encourage you. God will have to be good enough in those times. And in this passage right here in Samuel, 1 Samuel 36, David was struggling with that very issue. He was getting blamed for being ravaged their camp, and everyone was calling him names, ready to kill him. But this is what David did. Would you read that bold part with me? But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. David realized that he couldn't rely on anybody else around him but Jesus. You have to do the same at times. Make sure that you can encourage yourself in the Lord. What else can we do today to encourage? Write this in your notes. Encourage others in the Lord. Encourage others in the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you also are doing. And that's one of the things that we can do. We have the ability to encourage people with truth, with our very words. But oftentimes we use those same words to tear down others around us. When my son was young, this is what I used to tell him. He was just an infant. I used to look in his crib or look in his child's seat, and I tell him, "You a handsome Hawaiian." And he had this huge smile. He never knew what I was telling him, but all he knew what I was telling him was encouraging. And I have been, every single day, I said, "You a handsome Hawaiian." And even now I said, "Who's the handsome Hawaiian? Me, ole, me." But he just loves it when I encourage him. Don't you love it when people encourage you? And I'm a product of encouragement. God knew with my checkered past, I needed people around me who would encourage me towards God's very best. I grew up homestead in Papakule. I grew up there. And encouragement in that area is rare. And I didn't help the situation being a troublemaker and a bully and doing drugs and having bad grades. I didn't help the situation. So when I gave my life to Christ, I thought I disqualified myself from doing anything great for God. But I was sitting with a friend who led me to Christ, and he said, "Dom, I saw what you did, but God has forgiven everything that you've done here. And what's going to make the difference is what you're going to do this point forward." Wow. And I could have easily been consumed by my past, like you. But God has surrounded me with men and women who painted a picture of a future of so big that the lies of yesterday began to fade away. We can do the same with the people around us. And I believe here in this service that God wants to set some of you free who have been living and believing the lies of our past. God wants to bring freedom in this area. And I truly believe that we can walk in God's truth because Jesus modeled it for us. He had lies at every corner, but he persevered. And because of his personal relationship with us, and because he shed his blood for you and for me. Let me conclude with this story. And it's about my friend Wes. And Wes gave his life to Christ. He has a similar background like me, a real rough background. He's a boxer, kickboxer, mixed martial arts fighter. And he had a checkered past as well. And he was encouraged to do a testimony, which he fought tooth and nail not to do. Finally, we encouraged him. We wasn't going to let him get out of that doing a testimony. So he did the testimony, but he was struggling. So the night before the testimony, he went home and he was praying, God, I don't want to do it. I'm not worthy. I'm going to call Dom and everybody else. I'm not doing this testimony. I don't want to do it, Lord. I get so many other people that can do it. Why me? Why me? Why me? And he was doing this for some time, maybe a few hours, 6-7 hours. Finally, he felt this like drops of water fall on his shoulder. And he goes, where is this water coming from? He went into the bathroom, flipped on the light. It wasn't water, it was blood. So he began to wipe the blood off his shoulder looking for a cut or something, but there was no cut. He goes, where did this blood come from? Then he heard the voice of the Lord say, Wes, that's not your blood. That's my blood. And by my blood, you are worthy. And then Wes did. He shared the testimony. And you know what? I don't know what he said. But whatever he said, because of his encouragement from the Lord, impacted so many. We all have that kind of testimony. And because of God's, the blood that was shed for you and me, we are worthy. No matter what our past is. And so we get from this point on to continue to listen to the voice of truth and not listen to the lies. Can you imagine the kind of life we'll live just walking in God's truth daily? Imagine our relationships around us. Imagine what we can do for the kingdom. Incredible. My encouragement today, my prayer is that we continue to listen to the voice of truth and rejecting the lies. Amen. God bless.
Pastor Dominic. Dominic Kai Hui. Let's all stand together. What a great word, huh? Great word that we all need to take to our hearts. Because what voice are you listening to? There's so many voices we can hear. Outside, inside, things that discourage us. It's just one truth. Don't ever confuse what's true from what is the truth now. We see things in life that may be true. Finances, relationships, things that may be falling apart around us. While that may be true, there's only one truth, that Jesus Christ can still take you through those seasons. He still can bring you through victory. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. You believe in the truth, you will find life. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for Pastor Dom, his ministry, for Brian Clay and his ministry, and for the words that they've shared with us today, Lord. Messages of reminders, messages that need to now seep down into our hearts and where we now begin to live out the truth. Not just look at what's true around us, not just look at circumstances, but to focus our eyes upon you. And when we do, that's where we will discover life. Life to be lived abundantly, as you say in your word. Help us, Father, to do so. With your eyes closed and your heads bowed, let me ask you a question. Some of you may be saying, you know, I've never yet given my life over to Jesus Christ. I've heard about it, but I've listened to so many different things in this world. I don't know really what is true and what is the truth. There is one truth. And you need to understand that your discovery of that truth begins with you opening up your heart and letting the Lord Jesus Christ enter in. God's never going to force his way into your heart. You need to open it up. And as you begin to live and as he begins to live in you, you'll begin to understand and discover more and more what it is about the truth of life. If that's you and you're saying, you know, I've been living life on my own. I've been doing things on my own terms. It's about time I turn my life over to Christ. If that's you, would you raise a hand right now? And by doing so, you're saying, yes, that's me. Right there, inside, brother. Good. Back here. Good. Aside here. See your hands, brother. Anyone else? Right here on the side. Good. God bless you. Keep your hands up so the Lord can see your heart. One in the back. Bless you up there. Yeah. Put your hands down. How many of you would say, you know, I've been walking with the Lord for all these years, but I've been listening to too many things outside. I need to turn myself back to Christ and believe in Him and Him alone. I'm going to trust Him with all my heart. But Father, I need some help right now. So Lord, would you encourage me? Would you raise a hand right now if that's you? Yeah, a lot of us are going through that. Just so many things happening in this world. I'm going to say a prayer. Would you repeat this prayer with all of your heart? Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Dear Jesus, thank you that you came and died for my sins. Forgive me of my sins. Help me to live in truth, to become all that you want me to be. Help me to live my life to please and glorify you. And now I say this so I can hear myself, so those around can hear, so you can hear me, and so the devil can hear. Jesus Christ is my Lord. I will live according to His truth. He is my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name. Father, would you now allow us to live our lives that represents you? Live it differently than when we came in. We leave it up to you now. We give it all to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Would you welcome these who said yes for the first time?